With the first pick of the draft, the Indianapolis Colts select quarterback, University of Tennessee, Peyton Manning.
Welcome back to another edition of the Climbing the Big Board podcast. The first thing I want to say is I want to apologize to our viewers and our listeners. It's been a while since we've had our last episode, and, you know, I just want to first and foremost, apologize to you guys, and we won't be doing that from here on out. We want to do our best to get an episode out every 2 weeks. Once we get closer to April, we'll start grinding out and putting the episode out every week or once a week. That's out the way. I am your host, Jordan Reed, joined alongside my co-host, Miles Gorm. Miles, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. Excited to get tonight's show going.
Good, man. We got a lot of things in store for you guys tonight. Or today, I should say, rather. Some coaching changes happened. Heisman Trophy was given out. You know, we're getting closer to bowl season, which means we're getting very, very close to draft season. The draft is right around the corner. And we're going to finish up fixing the Browns. I mean, the Browns are the Browns. Everyone knows they're one of the most dysfunctional organizations in all of pro sports, and they had a very eventful week. So we'll save that for later. But I want to start off with the coaching changes that happened throughout the NCAA. There were a lot of big names that switched colors and switched logos. Jimbo Fisher went to Texas A&M. Chip Kelly went to UCLA. Willie Taggart to Florida State. Chad Morris to SMU. And Jeremy Pruitt, Alabama's defensive coordinator, ended up at Tennessee after the whole Greg Schiano fiasco and a lot of guys that they interviewed for that position. Jeremy Pruitt ended up taking the Tennessee job there, which I thought was a very good hire. So my question for you, Miles, there was a lot of guys that switched around, and a lot of them seemed to land in very good spots. But which one was the best fit to you, or which one did you like the most?
I'm going to actually start off with, like, I think the weirdest one. I think the Herm Edwards to Arizona State was probably the weirdest one for me.
Yeah, I completely forgot
about that one. Had a hard time kind of like understanding that move and like why he's been out of the coaching game for a while now. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting move for them, but definitely the favorite one to me would have to be Jimbo Fisher to A&M. I just think I don't even know how to explain it. Like, obviously the Taggart moved to Florida State after Jimbo leaves. That's a great replacement for Jimbo for me, but Jimbo going to A&M, he's gonna bring a lot of the potential recruits he had at Florida State coming in this year to A&M, and he brings that SEC pedigree and all that. So I think that was a good move for A&M, because leaving Kevin Sumlin and letting him go, I think Jimbo is a great replacement for that.
Yeah, and I think Teddy is definitely agreeing with you in the background.
yeah, he's – he's definitely having a good time right now.
He definitely is. But I really like the Jimbo move to Texas A&M. I mean, you get 10 years. They lock you up fully guaranteed. $75 million for the next 10 years. That's very hard to turn down. And, you know, being a Seminoles fan, I don't blame Jimbo. It just seems like ever since Jameis Winston left Tallahassee, Florida State has been on a downswing, and they needed that breath of fresh air, and just was time to make a change. And Jimbo seen that, and he went down to College Station, and I think Texas A&M was a great fit for him. For me, I'm not going to say I'm being a homer here, but I really like the Willie Taggart fit at Florida State. Willie Taggart being a resident Florida State or Florida guy. He has tons of Florida ties, was the former coach at South Florida and Western Kentucky as well, and Oregon before taking the Florida State job. Was only at Oregon for a year. I thought he was a really good fit there. The program seemed to be turning around after the whole fiasco with Mark Helfrich and that ordeal just not working out. I didn't know if Taggart would take the job, but it did make sense if he did, just because, like I said, he has a lot of Florida ties, and he really wants to put a fence around the state of Florida as far as recruiting goes. So I really like the Willie Taggart fit for Florida State. That was by far my favorite fit. But switching gears, there was a big trophy that was handed out this weekend. It was the Heisman Trophy. We all know it's the most illustrious trophy in all of college football. I thought the three finalists were correct. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Bryce Love, all three had outstanding seasons, each helping their team have tremendous, tremendous years. And all three of them had career years as well. Bryce Love burst onto the scene out of nowhere, had a fantastic season. Lamar Jackson really was his same old usual self. His numbers were even better this year, which was very, very tremendous considering the numbers that he put up a season ago and winning the Heisman a year ago. But the presumptive favorite seemed to be Baker Mayfield. Burst onto the scene. I mean, his story is just incredible. A walk-on at Texas Tech. Things didn't work out there. He ended up walking on at Oklahoma. Burst onto the scene this year. Had a fantastic year. Just everything that you would love to see in a quarterback. He's had some off-the-field problems, you know, some on-the-field fiascos and antics that a lot of people have disagreed with. But as far as the season he had this year on the field, I think the voters got it correct with Baker Mayfield winning the Heisman. What do you think about that, Miles?
Yeah, I think he's the perfect fit this year. I think you definitely could have made a case for Lamar Jackson again based off of he technically had better numbers this year than he did last year. But I just think, you know, the committee definitely loves new blood. They love to bring somebody new in. And I think out of all of them, Baker Mayfield definitely deserved it. Turnaround, you know, everything he's been through in terms of, like you said, being a walk-on at two different schools. And then coming into Oklahoma and just shattering records and leading the team to the playoffs back-to-back years. And they have a really good chance to win it all this year. So I think he's the perfect fit. He does it all. He's a spread-style quarterback, but he also does a really good job reading the field. And, yeah, he's got that personality, too, that definitely – he's the kind of guy you like, you probably either like or hate, but I think that's that like fiery, like competitive mentality that he has. But I just don't think when you get to know him, you probably would like him. I just think they kind of, the committee like loves all that he brings to the table. And then on top of that, just how great he is in terms of what he did this season was phenomenal.
And it's interesting that you say that, and I completely agree. He really has an edge about himself. He has that moxie, and that's the common word that a lot of people have been using about Baker Mayfield. Yes, he's had some questionable antics on the field, but as far as his play on the field this year, he just has elevated that team. And when he's out there on the field with that team, everyone just believes in him, and he makes his teammates believe in themselves even more than they already do. And if he goes out and has a tremendous college playoff, who knows where his draft stock will be? It's going to be through the roof, especially if he lights up Georgia. Everyone knows Georgia has a tremendous defense. Kirby Smart, the former Alabama defensive coordinator. So, and they're known for their speed. Oklahoma is really known as being more of a finesse team, not really that power team. The more of that team is going to spread you out and expand defenses and just try to throw the ball over your head the entire game. But Georgia is known for, you know, their speed and just being tough and very physical. So if Baker Mayfield goes out and lights them up January 1st in the college football playoff, it's going to be very, very interesting to see where his stock goes. And let's not even get into if he lights up Alabama or Clemson, whoever wins that game, if they do end up beating Georgia. So Baker Mayfield's stock could be through the roof by the time we get to April. Switching gears again. The Cleveland Browns, and I say that in a depressing way. Every time we describe the Cleveland Browns, it's never anything good. They're always in the headline for something bad, whether it's a player doing something wrong in the limelight or just making bad decisions in the draft. It just seems like nothing positive ever comes out about the Cleveland Browns. They had a very eventful week this week. They let their executive vice president of football operations go, and Sashi Brown. Sashi came with a different approach. He tried to take more of an analytics approach to the front office for the Cleveland Browns. And, I mean, there's a lot of things people are saying. Either you're for Sashi or you're against Sashi. There really isn't in between for Sashi simply because, I mean, they were 1-28 under him. The record was not good at all. Everyone knows that. But Sashi's job is to get the players in the building. His job is not to develop the players or get them better on a week in and week out basis. From a defensive standpoint, I think Sashi did a good job of putting the personnel in place for head coach Hugh Jackson to succeed. But everyone will always come back and glorify the most important position in sports, which is quarterback. Yes, he passed on to Carson Wentz, and he passed on to Deshaun Watson. But this year, Sashi had his chance at number one overall to potentially get his guy. So they opted to take a different route. They ended up hiring John Dorsey after they fired Sashi Brown. John Dorsey is a very successful general manager. His last stint was with the Kansas City Chiefs. Has a very impressive track record. His resume, he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Drafted players like Tyreek Hill, Marcus Peters, Travis Kelce. So he has some very, very impressive players on his resume or his draft resume from previous years with the Chiefs. But what's your overall thoughts on this whole Sashi Brown firing?
It was definitely baffling for me just based off of everything we knew what was going on in terms of the Browns were definitely in a rebuilding mode. And they even made it known publicly that this is going to take multiple years to get everything turned around. And I think Sashi was doing a great job managing the cap, the way and signing the right players, building draft capital by trading players away and getting picks back, even trading for Brock Osweiler and getting a second round pick to take on his contract. Like all these savvy moves that I thought Sashi and company were doing really well to help build for the future. And I think John Dorsey's just been put into a fantastic situation now because he kind of just gets handed 12 draft picks. And I think, what is it, 6 or 7 in the first, like, in the first 3 or 4 rounds? So, I mean, he just got handed a gold mine. So I thought Sashi was doing a great job. He brought in building blocks on both the offensive and defensive line. He already had Joe Thomas, but then he brought in, Joe Bottino. That's how you say his name, right?
Bottino.
J.C. Tretter and who's the right guard, the really good right guard? How am I blanking on his name?
I drew a blank now, too.
He played for the Bengals, but I'm sure
Zeitler.
People know who I'm talking about. There we go. Zeitler, yeah. So they brought in the whole core to kind of help build the offensive line. They've got Myles Garrett on the defensive line. They got Caleb Brantley. Danny Shelton. They got all these guys on, and then they got Jamie Collins from the Patriots last year. They brought in veterans like Jason McCourty. They drafted, Jabril Peppers. All these names, they're building for the future, and you could definitely tell. And I'm really excited for what they have, but I'm really surprised by the whole move to get rid of Sashi after, what he was able to do analytically and for the cap situation, because they're in fantastic, situation for the cap right now. They can go out and sign any player they want in the offseason, any big-name player that, looking for a big contract, they have the money to do it. So that's really exciting. And now it sounds like Sashi and Hugh Jackson have been at arm's length. They haven't really been talking for a while now. So really surprised to hear that, but I think a lot of that probably circles around – this is speculation, but it probably circles around the quarterback position and kind of what the plan is for that. So I'm really surprised that they did choose Hugh Jackson over Sashi in that terms, but I'm baffled by it. I don't know how your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% in agreement with you. The whole situation unfolded, I thought it was very strange. You talk about Sashi Brown coming in and laying a blueprint these first 2 years. Everyone knew that his whole plan was for 2019 and beyond. This was a 3 to 4 year plan that he thought Jimmy Haslam, which is the owner of the Browns, agreed upon once he was hired. Everyone knew this wasn't a short term fix with the Browns. The roster was just bad when he took it over. And we're seeing that now the roster is improved, but the development is just not there. And I just think Sashi was treated unfairly with that just because, like I alluded to earlier, his job is to put the players out on the field or put the best personnel on the field. He can't draft and coach the players. You talk about guys that he drafted, and Myles Garrett was a great pick. David Njoku, who's coming around, who I think is going to turn into a good pick. Jabril Peppers was an okay pick. I think he's kind of been mismanaged, and they're putting him in bad situations, but I think he'll turn it around and end up being a good pick. He signed Zeitler, like you said, he signed a J.C. Treader, which is a good signing. Whiffed on Kenny Britt, but he's showing or he's taking chances on trying to improve the roster. And I think this was the year where he was going to get his guy as far as a quarterback in the draft, just because he got so much flack for skipping on a Wentz, skipping on a Deshaun Watson, and taking a Deshaun Kizer in the second round. Everyone thought that he was just too relaxed with the quarterback situation, and he waited too long, and it ended up costing him his job. I thought he was treated very unfairly, but they've moved on now. So we're going to move on now. We're going to go on to the John Dorsey era. Like I alluded to earlier, John Dorsey is a very, very successful NFL GM. Has generated a buzz in Cleveland. A lot of people are excited about him. Very well-respected guy in the industry. And you've seen a lot of people give him a vote of confidence taking over this job just because, I mean, I love the reference that Eric Galco, from Optimum Scouting used earlier this week. He basically was saying Sashi Brown is going to be like the Sam Hinkie of this franchise now. And John Dorsey is going to be like Brian Colangelo, who is now the general manager for the 76ers. It's the same exact situation. And everyone loves using the saying, trust the process. And I think that's definitely translatable to the Cleveland Browns right now. They have a plethora of draft picks. They're probably going to end up with two top 10 picks. Both picks are actually in the top five right now because the Browns obviously are 0-4 right now. So they own the number one overall pick. They own the Texans pick, which is now pick number five overall. So they have a chance to end up adding two potential elite players to their already impressive roster, I think. I think they have an impressive roster defensively. The front seven is really good. I think now this is an offseason where they need to address some offensive positions, specifically wide receiver, obviously quarterback they have to address. So let's fix the Browns, man. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. Starting off with the number one overall pick. Let's start with the draft. Let's hit it right off the top. Who should the Browns take first overall?
You want me to go first?
I'm putting you on the spot. Let's do it.
All right. See, mine's a toss-up. I do think it has to be quarterback. I think they're going to either look to move Deshaun Kizer or just look to bring somebody else in. And I think Hugh and Glenn Dorsey are going to get their guy. Right now, I think it's tough because I think it is a toss-up. But I think it'll be between Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen. I think some people in the Browns organization and the Browns fans might get a little thrown off by the Baker Mayfield-Johnny Manziel comparisons. But I think they need to kind of put their minds at ease that Baker Mayfield isn't Johnny Manziel. He's not that off the field. Off as a fiery competitor and, you know, do some things that you might not like really believe in, but he's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. He's not one of those. He's not like a Johnny Manziel off the field. He's not, you know, spoiled. He's not, you know, any of those things that you want to name Johnny Manziel. He's not that. He's a good guy. And I think he would be a really good fit in that organization. So I'm having a tough time between Bitch Rosen just because Mayfield brings that like that competitive nature that I think this Browns team really needs. They need a guy that's going to come in and kick some butt and, like, you know, light a fire under that offense and kind of get people going. So that's where I like him the most. I like him a lot, but I think Josh Rosen too is just his ability. Like, you, I know you've compared him to like a Matt Ryan, and I think that's phenomenal. I think that's definitely like a ceiling for him. So I'm having a really tough time between those two, but I think those would be my two choices at the first overall pick, but I'll let you make the decision though.
You know, I'm going to add my input, and we're in the war room right now. We're comparing ideas and I'm in agreement with you, but Mayfield just scares me. Number one overall, just because I don't want to say he's a boom or bust prospect, but some of his antics kind of scare me as far as at the top of the draft. He's only had one off the field incident. But I just think Josh Rosen is the safer pick. And what I mean by that is his mechanics, his playing style, and his overall game, I just think is a perfect fit for the Cleveland Browns. He just screams or exemplifies franchise quarterback to me. Yeah, everyone's saying he's very confident. A lot of people saying cocky or arrogant, but I actually like quarterbacks like that. I love – you have to be extremely confident in order to play the quarterback position. And Josh Rosen has that. Everyone knows the Cleveland Browns have a huge curse going on with their quarterback position right now. They've had over 20 starters the past 20 years. It's probably been more than that. I don't know the exact number, but it's been a long list of guys. And I think if there was one person who believes in themselves to break that curse and be that long-term guy and just break this curse completely, I think Josh Rosen could be that guy. And it's just hard for me not to get excited about adding Josh Rosen to the core of Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, that offensive line, and David Njoku. I just think he would be a picture-perfect fit for that organization, and it would be a home run pick for them at number one. Now, the second pick, they actually own the Texans' first overall pick or the first round pick from the Deshaun Watson trade last year. So, spot for them. I think they're in a position to take the best player available. We don't really know who's going to be on the board right now. So, we're going to say our best player, who we want them to take or what area we want them to target. So, I'm putting you back on the spot. What player would you like to see them take with the Texans pick?
Yeah. Obviously, I think, you know, they address the quarterback position at the first overall, so they finally get that cleared up and situated. I think they should go Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think they need to add another defensive back, and I think adding a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick and allowing him to be the free safety, that roaming free safety in that, like, Devin McCourty-style role, allow him to kind of go all over the place. Then it allows you to move Jabril Peppers, your last year's first-round pick, to be more of a strong safety, allows him to be more in the box because that's more of his skill set. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick is arguably the best overall player in this draft and arguably the best defensive player in this draft. So I think he's as safe of a pick as it comes. And he's phenomenal, and he's a ball hawk, and he's the kind of guy that I think you just plug and play right away. So I'm going to go Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama.
And I'm 110% in agreement with you. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick would be a home run pick for them. They need help on the back end of that secondary. As I alluded to earlier, Jabril Peppers really hasn't had the best year that they would have hoped for, simply because he's kind of playing a bit out of position at free safety. He's more of a strong safety, hybrid linebacker role. They're decent at the corner. Brian Bode Calhoun, who's been a great pick for him as an undrafted free agent, that was a great find for him. They still need some more help on that back end, though. And I think Minkah Fitzpatrick can supplant and just be a picture-perfect fit in that secondary. So starting off the draft with Josh Rosen and Minkah, following it up with Minkah Fitzpatrick, would be probably the best outcome for the Browns. Moving on to the second round, they actually have three picks in the second round. One is from the Brock Osweiler trade, their own pick, and the Carson Wentz trade from a couple years ago. So we'll just go through one more position. What's one more position that you would like to see them draft with one of those second-round picks?
I think a wide receiver would probably be mine, just because I think if you can add one more weapon to go with Corey Coleman, Josh Gordon, and to go with I think the sky's the limit. Just give your quarterback, you know, Josh Rosen, as many weapons as you can. So I'd say wide receiver.
Yeah, and I agree. You talk about a guy like Anthony Miller or somebody like that could be there, or James Washington, who could be a deep threat for those guys in the second round. I think both of those guys would be great fits for him. I think Anthony Miller is a guy that will go at the top of the second round. James Washington from Oklahoma State also has a chance to go to the mid to late second round range. So I think wide receiver will be a great area for them to target. We all love Josh Gordon, but I don't think they need to go into the offseason depending on Josh Gordon or assuming that he's going to be there next season, simply because he's one slip up away from completely being banned from the league. So wide receiver is definitely a position that they should target. I should have flip-flopped these. I kind of did it out of order, but we'll still go through it anyway. Free agency. We all know they have a lot of holes on their roster. So what's one position you think they possibly should target in free agency since they have all of that cap space?
I think cornerback is probably the spot for me. I think they need to add another guy to go along with Breann "Body" Calhoun. And I think there's a lot of options this offseason. There's a lot of defensive backs, a lot of corners that are available. A couple big names that just pop out at me that we know that they have the cap space to kind of throw some money at. You got guys like Tremaine Johnson from the L.A. Rams. You got Malcolm Butler from the New England Patriots. You got Kyle Fuller from the Chicago Bears. A couple of these guys that are looking to get paid. And I know Malcolm Butler is the one that really sticks out to me because I know he's been looking to get paid by the New England Patriots. And they even pretty much had a deal in place to trade him that kind of thing. So I expect somewhere I don't expect him to. And if he's looking to just cash in, I think this amount of him with Breann "Body" Calhoun, that'd be a good fit.
Yeah, and corner is definitely a position I think they should address, whether it's the draft or free agency. I kind of would like them to address it in free agency. Like you said, there's a lot of great names out there. Tremaine Johnson is a guy I really think that they should target, simply because I think he's probably the best corner on the market. He's on the franchise tag right now for the LA Rams. So who knows if they'll let him walk out the door. But let's just say they do allow him to walk out the door and explore free agency. I think Tremaine Johnson would be a great fit for them. I got a scenario for you, though. Tell me if you like it or you dislike it. John Dorsey has history with the Chiefs. The Browns need a quarterback. Alex Smith has a year left on his deal after this year. Let's say the Chiefs want a second or third round pick for Alex Smith. I think you should do it, simply because he provides you with that bridge quarterback to a Josh Rosen, per se, if they do take him number one overall. Yes, I know if you take a quarterback that high, you want him to play right away. But let's say if you do have an Alex Smith in your back pocket, and you take a Josh Rosen, Alex Smith immediately becomes an asset that you can ship out, even if you do end up starting a Rosen, or if Rosen is not ready or just isn't ready to handle being the starting quarterback. You have an Alex Smith who's a proven guy, and he's proven to be able to play at a high level. Also, he has that connection with John Dorsey. So I think a combination, or going into the 2018 season with Alex Smith and Josh Rosen competing for your starting position, is really good.
Yeah, I actually 100% agree, just because they could go throw a lot of money at guys like Kirk Cousins, potentially Sam Bradford, depending on how his medical checks come out, and some of that. But why not go get a guy that you already know and you're familiar with, that I think is probably pretty similar to what Hugh Jackson looks for in a quarterback, and an Alex Smith. And what the nice thing is when if they do go and draft their guy, he doesn't feel the pressure and the need to play right away. You have that veteran quarterback in place to get you through the 2018 season. And you have a pretty good quarterback at that. Alex Smith, he's not a scrub. He's a pretty good starting quarterback in the NFL. But the nice part, especially about that, what I like is he's not locked in long-term. So you're not committing long-term. You're not committing a lot to Alex Smith long-term. You're pretty much using him for 2018, setting yourself up for a nice run in 2019 with your developed quarterback. So I really like that move a lot.
Yeah, I love the idea. And it gives the Browns a lot of security and flexibility. And it gives the Browns fan base a sense of hope. You have Alex Smith and you have Josh Rosen in the building. So
And it should definitely get you a few more wins than you would with probably a Josh Rosen as a rookie. So
yeah, definitely. I just think that's a great situation for them. So we fixed the Browns. We got our quarterback. We got our corner. We got our receiver. Browns fans, I hope you're happy. I think that was the best outcome for you guys. Switching gears back to the college game, it always seems like there's a scent or a big debate around bowl time when draft prospects declare for the draft and they skip out on these bowl games. I have a lot of thoughts on that. I have no problem with these guys skipping out on the bowl games, simply because you've played for these schools for 3 to 4, even 5 years for guys that's redshirted, and they move on. I don't think they owe their school anything. These schools make millions of dollars off of these prospects. And these guys don't get a single dime. Yes, some of them do get their way paid through school. Some of them don't even get their way paid through school. But if you have an opportunity to go make millions, I think you should go for it, no matter what. So what's your thoughts on prospects just skipping out on bowl games? Do you hate it or do you love it?
I think the only time you really need is when, you know that are there, they're probably going to play in the playoffs. Did you hear of four teams in the playoffs that are skipping the playoffs altogether?
You're going out on me. Yeah, AOL.
Oh, oh no, no. Are there any names in the, you know, in the playoff, in the four playoff teams? Have you heard anybody that have decided to skip the games to declare?
No, so the biggest names right now are just, I think Connor Williams was one and Derwin James was another. Those are really the two biggest names right now. There hasn't been anybody from the college playoff teams.
Okay. So that's where my biggest thing is, like, unless you're playing in the playoffs and you have really something to actually play for, I completely agree with players taking the mindset of I need to prepare and I need to stay healthy, because if I get hurt, you know, that's money out of my pocket. That's my long-term future. And these schools aren't doing anything else for them. They're, you know, these schools will get rid of you as quickly as they signed you. So I definitely think there's a lot of hypocrisy in that. Coaches come and go all the time. A lot of these coaches aren't even going to be coaching their own respective teams for their bowl games. So if it doesn't matter for them, then why does it matter as a player? And like you've seen, and as of recently, you've seen a lot more players, high profile named players, get injured in their bowl games. And so I think a lot of, you know, future and upcoming players heading in the draft, they're definitely looking at that and saying, look how it's affected these guys. That's not worth it for me. I'm trying to get paid as a top 10, 15, you know, first or second round player. So I'm not trying to lose that slot because I get injured in a meaningless bowl game. So I'm definitely in favor of it.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. Jalen Smith was definitely a trendsetter. We saw how bad his injury was. Took millions out of his pockets, was a projected top five pick, ended up going at the top of the second round. Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey sat out their bowl games last year, and they really started this whole trickle-down effect of top prospects sitting out their bowl games. And, I mean, I'm not going to get mad at Derwin James for sitting out of the blockbuster Dollar General bowl against Southern Miss.
Right.
I'm not going to get mad at him for that. I mean, just go make your money, man. I'm not mad at that. Now, like you mentioned, what we haven't seen yet is a guy that's playing in a New Year's Day bowl or that college football playoff sit out. Let's say a guy like a Baker Mayfield say, oh, I don't want to play, I'm just going to go sit out. That's what I'm really waiting to see, and I can't wait to see the debate on that if a top prospect does do that. And I think it's coming. Not this year, but maybe next year.
Okay. So yeah, that I might take a little bit more issue with that, just for the fact that I think you're playing for something as like a team. Like when you're playing for the blockbuster Dollar General Bowl, like you're not playing for anything. Like the only thing you get as a player in those is you get some swag when you go to the, you get to travel somewhere nice with the team, and like you get some swag, but like you're not really like getting anything for your team. It's just one last game with your team, which I can understand. But like when you're in the college football playoffs or you play in like a BCS bowl, you're playing for something for your school. And I think that like says something more to me as like a, I'd have a little bit more of an issue with like you said, a Baker Mayfield, because I feel like, not that I think it would like take away from his competitive drive, but I also think you want to see these players perform in high pressure situations like a college football playoff, because you want to see if that, like, some of that might translate. Because that definitely affects evaluations for sure. It shouldn't affect all of your evaluation, but it definitely can skew things a little bit. And I think you definitely have something more to play for your school, and winning a national championship is a big deal. So I would have a bigger issue with that one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and we haven't seen it yet, but I think it's coming. Maybe not from a quarterback, but I think maybe from a top prospect. And if they do sit out, scouts have the right to question their competitive nature simply because, like you said, you are playing for something. You're playing for a national championship and the right to have a ring on your finger. That's what you play the game for. You play to win. You play to win national championships and championships in general. But that's something we haven't seen yet, a guy that's in the college football playoffs sitting out. And like I said, I think it's coming. I don't know when, whether that's next year or 5 years down the road, simply because guys are going to keep valuing money over playing in these national championship games or potential championship games. But I'm waiting to see it. There's some bowl games this week, man. The bowl season is upon us.
We've got a
great, great slate of matchups. Like we always do, we're going to do our pick'em games. Three games this week. A lot of good wide receivers actually involved in them. Really why I picked them. I thought of you when I picked the games. Simply because I know you love wide receiver play. But we're all going to do the head-up thing. We usually do, you know, plus-minus with the points, but we're going to do them all head-up. So, the first game, Boise State versus Oregon. Who you got?
I'm going to go Boise State in this one. Probably because I think – I'm going to go Boise State just because I think they have a pretty solid team this year.
Yeah, they always seem to have some magic around bowl season. We all know the famous Statue of Liberty play where they won on that at the last second in the Fiesta Bowl, I believe it was, Oklahoma. Something like that. Yep. Yeah, Oklahoma. So they always have some magic around this time of year. But I'm going to go with Oregon. You know, they just lost their coach, but they did hire Mario Cristobal, who was a fantastic coach. And I'm a big Justin Herbert fan, Oregon's quarterback. I just have a great sense of belief in him, and I think he's going to get it done. So, Justin, if you're listening to this, go get it done, baby. Get the job done. Next game, we got Colorado State versus Marshall. Who you got?
I got to go Colorado State in this one, I think. You got Michael Gallup. That's probably one of the
– I knew you were going to say him.
I know he was one of your favorite players. He's a playmaker. He's a difference maker. Yeah. And I think in bowl games like this, going against a team like Marshall, I don't see why he couldn't put up big numbers. So I'm going Colorado State all the way here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm going to go Colorado State. I'm a big Michael Gallup fan. Still flying a bit under the radar. He's going to be down at the Senior Bowl. Looking forward to seeing him. I'm going Colorado State over Marshall. So we're in agreement on that one. Next game, got a big time receiver playing in it. We got Louisiana Tech versus SMU. Who you got?
This is another one of those where I think when you have high profile, high, you know, star caliber players like Cortland Sutton, excuse me. I just blanked there for a second. I think those are the kind of guys. This is an opportunity for a guy like him to shine and just kind of cement to scouts that, like, hey, this is my last game as a college player, but I'm going to light it up. SMU here.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is Cortland Sutton's last game or his last chance to put a stamp on his resume at SMU, and I think he's just going to ball out. I think he's going to have a fantastic game, and I really don't expect this game to be close. Honestly, I think Cortland Sutton and that offense is just going to dominate Louisiana Tech from start to finish. So, we're in agreement on two games. We differed on the Boise State-Oregon game.
Let's go Boise State.
Let's go Ducks, baby. We both got Colorado State over Marshall, and we both got SMU over La Tech. I got to go back from our previous episodes and tally it up. We're going to keep a track this whole entire bowl season. We need to make a little bet or have a little wager. Maybe a little Abby bet or something like that. I'm not sure.
Let's do it.
We'll figure something out. But the picks are in, and the podcast is wrapped up. Episode 4 is in the books. Thank you guys for listening. Like I said, we're going to continue to do this and get back on track every 2 weeks. For your host, Jordan Reed, Miles Gorham, we're out. Thank y'all for listening.